You're listening to Pastor Bill Knott.
Good morning. I want to talk today about the body of Christ, specifically about the bride of Christ. You're going to have to forgive me a little bit here. I got to get my bearings. I got lost in worship, and I'm not quite back yet, okay? I was at a wedding just a few months ago, and it was a beautiful wedding. How many know weddings are always beautiful? How many of you know the bride is always beautiful? That's because weddings and brides are a God thing. That's not a man thing. Humans didn't invent weddings. You know, I don't care what anthropologists will tell you. I'm telling you this. God invented weddings, and he invented brides. The Bible tells us that he's coming back not for me. We think the good news is that Jesus is coming for me. He's not. And he's not coming for you. Not to shock you. But he's not coming back for me. And he's not coming back for you. He's coming back for his bride. The Bible clearly tells us that he's coming back for his bride. His bride is the body of Christ. That's not me and you. That's us all. The Greek has a word that's a plural you. If you're from the South, you understand the plural you. We use it all the time in the South. Y'all. Y'all. Y'all come. If you're from the east side of the state or Chicago, it's yous. Yous all, yous come, okay? Didn't mean you, it means yous. So whether it's yous or you all, it captures a little bit of what that Greek is. He's coming back for, not for all of us, but for all as one. Paul tells us that this is a mystery, and you don't understand this. I'm talking about Christ. He's talking about marriage, husbands, wives, brides, and he said, it's a mystery. But Jesus is the head, and we're the body. And it's the body he's coming back for today. That's who he's waiting for. You see, weddings are a God thing. Weddings are a God thing. Revelation 19, we know that he's coming back for a bride because there's a wedding and we're all invited. But in some mysterious way, we're all going to be there if you're in Christ because we're the bride. And that scripture tells us that he says, hallelujah, the master reigns, the revelator writes, our God, the sovereign strong. Let us celebrate. Let us rejoice. Let us give him the glory. The marriage of the Lamb has come. His bride, that's us, his bride has made herself ready. She was given a bridal gown of bright and shining linen. And that linen is what? The righteousness of the saints. He's coming back for a bride because we know the invitation has been given. There's a wedding coming. So I want to tell you that there's a wedding to come. It's not here yet. It's to come. And we need to understand something about weddings. See, this is a Jewish thing. We need to get rid of our 21st century or Western mindset. We got the word engagement, right? We don't understand this Jewish wedding thing. You see, in a Jewish wedding, first off, there's a contract. The family works out a contract. And then there's a price paid for the bride. And the more money paid for the bride is indicative of how much love there is from the groom for the bride. And then the third thing is it involves a betrothal or espousement. Now, about the only time we ever come across the word betrothal is if we're reading in the King James about Jesus waiting to be born because his mother Mary was what? Betrothed to Joseph. And we oftentimes think that's engagement. Jewish don't understand engagement. It's betrothal. And what betrothal is that when that promise, when that contract has been signed, and when that price for the bride has been made, they are betrothed. And the bride goes away for at least a year because he's got to go work on the house. He's got to make a place for the bride. He's got to build the place so when he comes back to get his bride, there's a place for them to go. Well, I'm here to tell you today, that concerning the marriage between Christ and his bride, the contract was negotiated by the Father in heaven already. And the price has been paid by his Son on the cross. And the time of betrothal began when he went away to prepare a place for us. And what did he tell his bride? I'm coming again to get you because I've got this place I'm making for you. He's coming back. That he is. We're in the time of betrothal awaiting his return. And if you will read the Song of Solomon, you will understand Jewishness, this love, this longing for the bridegroom to come back. You'll understand a little bit more. And I don't know if guys can really catch on, but I got to tell you what, we're more emotional than most of our ladies understand. We miss our ladies as much as they miss us. Amen? We don't always express it the same way. We might say, hey, the dishes are getting full, or I'm out of TV dinner. We might say it a different way, but we long for our bride, and he longs for his bride. And we're to be waiting for him in this time of betrothal, longing for him. Today, I want to take a look at the description of the body who is the bride. Now, you're probably not going to hear anything today you haven't already heard or read it yourself, but I want to invite you to pay particular attention and to participate because I think we're going to see the body in a new way or a new light. So who is the body? We all are. All of us are. Not just one or two of us, all of us are. Again, we all make up the body. Again, in our Western mindset, it's me and Jesus. And in this wonderful way, because we're a part of the body, it is. But Jesus looks at the body. He looks at all of us as one, collectively. Now, who gives the body life? Jesus does. Christ himself does. And who gives the body power or strength to do what God has called the body to do? The Holy Spirit. He is the dunamis that comes and gives us the power. And what holds the body together? What is the sinew of the body? Love is. Colossians 2:2 tells us that we are being knit together. And like all bodies, each part has a function. And that represents a spiritual gift. And 1 Corinthians 12 teaches this. It's a fairly long passage, and this is from the Message version, but we're going to take a look at this. Now, God's various gifts are handed out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various ministries are carried out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various expressions of power are in action everywhere. But God himself is behind it all. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit and to all kinds of people. We'll stop there and go back. Each person, every one of us has been given a spiritual gift. And why did God give us spiritual gifts? To show who he is. So, to all kinds of people, you look around the room and we know what all kinds of people is all about. And the variety is wonderful. There's wise counsel, clear understanding. These are the gifts of the Spirit. Clear understanding, simple trust, healing the sick, miraculous acts, proclamation, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. Now, all these gifts have a common origin, but are handed out one by one by the Spirit of God. He decides who gets what and when. God didn't ask us. He didn't, you know, take our order. He says, this is the gift that I've given you. He is sovereign. He can do that. You can easily see how this kind of thing works by looking no further than your own body. Paul gives us a physical example. Your body has many parts, limbs, organs, cells. But no matter how many parts you can name, you're still one body. It's exactly the same with Christ. By means of this one Spirit, we all said goodbye to our partial and piecemeal lives. We each used to independently call our own shots. But then we entered into a large and integrated life in which he has the final say in everything. I want you to think about how all this makes you more significant, not less. And that's kind of an American thing, isn't it? We think of groups makes us insignificant because Americans, you know, we're the land of John Wayne, Daniel Boone. You know, we want to be the first one everywhere. We want to be number one all the time. That's kind of how we think in America. And God says, let me turn you upside down a little bit here. You're in the body. And we go, oh, great, I'm just another one in the crowd. No, that's not how God works. Paul tells us God does this, and Paul wants us now to see that makes us all the more significant. We'll see that. A body is not just a single part blown up into something huge. It's all the different but similar parts arranged and functioning together. If foot said, I'm not elegant like hand embellished with rings, I guess I don't belong to the body, would that make it so? If ear said, I'm not beautiful like eye, limpid and expressive, I don't deserve a place on the head, would you want to remove it from the body? And if the body was all eye, how could it hear? And if all ear, how could it smell? As it is, we see that God has carefully placed each part of the body where he wanted it. Stop right here. If you're a part of the body, I want you to raise your hand. Now, if you're saved, born again, believer in Jesus, you are part of the body. But I also want you to think about this, how this keeps your significance from getting blown up into self-importance. There's a balance here. Paul's telling us that being a part of the body makes us important. There's a reason God made us the way he did to be the part that he made us. However, don't let it go to your head. Because an enormous eye or a gigantic can wouldn't be a body, but a monster. Even though that was a cute movie, though. Did you see that movie? Little Eye. What was that, Monsters, Inc.? That was a cute movie. But I got somehow thinking that if you saw somebody with an eye on their head, it wouldn't look like Pixar did it, okay? It wouldn't. It would be grotesque. What we have is one body with many parts, each its proper size and in its proper place. No part is important on its own. Can you imagine the eye telling the hand, get lost, I don't need you? Or the head telling the foot, you're fired, your job's been phased out. As a matter of fact, in practice, it works the other way. The lower parts, the more basic, and therefore are the most necessary. You can live without an eye, for instance, but not without a stomach. When it's a part of your own body you're concerned with, it makes no difference whether the part is visible or clothed, higher or lower. You give it dignity and honor just as it is without comparisons, right? We don't go around going, hey, did you see my ear? Is this cool or what? Huh? Check out my thumb. But we don't do that. We see ourselves as whole. It's the way we're wired by God. And he says that's the way we should see the body of Christ, as whole. If anything, you're more concerned for the lower parts than the higher. If you had to choose, wouldn't you prefer good digestion to full-bodied hair? Now, that's probably the first time I've ever disagreed with Scripture, okay? Because, man, you can get medicine for that digestion stuff. The way that God designed our bodies is a model for understanding our lives together as a church. Every part dependent on every other part. The parts we mention and the parts we don't. The parts we see and the parts we don't. If one part hurts, every other part is involved in the hurt and in the healing. If one part flourishes, every other part enters into exuberance. We are Christ's body. That's who we are. And we must never forget this. Only as we, I'm personalizing the scriptures, we accept our part, does our part mean anything? Now, you're familiar with the parts that God has formed in his church, which is his body. These are the parts that God has put into the church. We have apostles, we have prophets, we have teachers, we have miracle workers, we have healers, we have helpers, we have organizers, and those who pray in tongues. So Paul tells us he's given gifts, abilities. Everybody's got one. And we're all called to be something in the body. And he just gave us a partial list. Paul goes in Romans 12 into more different aspects of the different parts of the body as well. But it's obvious by now, isn't it, that Christ's church is a complete body and not a gigantic, unidimensional part. It's not all apostle or all prophet, not all miracle worker, not all healer, not all prayer in tongues, not all interpreter of tongues. It's all of that as one body. It's what the apostle's saying is, man, we got to make sure that the body of Christ doesn't look like that grotesque monster. We don't want it to be just a big eye. We'd be non-functional without all of us in our parts. Everyone in this room and in the body of Christ at large. In this marvelous way, we are somehow one cell of the body. We're an actual part, and we are the body. Again, Paul says it's a mystery. You can't explain it because God is transcendent, but he's immanent in our lives. And so we here are a part of the body, and we are the body corporately. And each of us have a unique part in this. Now, you got to make sure that we all do our part and know what our gift and our call is. Otherwise, we won't have a beautiful bride of Christ. Picture's worth a thousand words. So this is what the Lord showed me. And I said, Lord, I don't think Mr. Potato Head's a good picture of the body of Christ. And the Lord said, you don't know your scripture. You see, the word says that you are being transformed from glory to the very image of Christ, but you ain't there yet. So this is probably a better picture of who we are in Christ than even we want to admit. I love children's ministry. So, Mr. Potato Head, first off, the word tells us that no matter what you think, there's only one head, and we'll put the cap to represent that. And who's the head of the body? Jesus Christ. He's the head. And without that, you've got no body. But then we have all these wonderful gifts. What would the body be without eyes? See, we need eyes on the body. And Paul tells us each of these parts, you know, he's really talking about spiritual gifts that we have. And we have eyes in the church, a spiritual gift. We have people who have the gift to be able to see what the Lord is doing at this time. We have folks with a prophetic gift. They're able to see what God's up to amongst us and the directions, the where to go. We have people that God speaks to in that way. So we need eyes. You got to know where you're going. And of course, along with eyes, you need folk in the body of Christ who can hear the Word of God and can hear not only the Word of God, but we need folk in the body of Christ who can hear the cries of the saints, who can hear the hurts and the pains in the body. We need folk in the church who have the gift of discernment so that they can understand and hear what people are saying and know what the Lord wants to do. Now, that's good. And one of my favorite parts is the nose. You know, and the nose is like that gift of discernment too. You can add whatever part you want and call it whatever you want. Paul's just giving us a picture that we do all have gifts. And I think the discernment is what the nose is. You can walk into a kitchen and you can tell if it's a good thing to eat or not a good thing to eat. If you walked into the fellowship hall last week, and on most of our fellowship Sundays, you know it's the right place to be, right? It just smells like, this is where I need to be. Amen? It's that way in the kingdom of God. We have folks who can discern between spirits. See, some of us can hear somebody preach and teach, oh, that was really good. Other people can walk in and go, man, something doesn't smell right in here. Ooh, man, that didn't smell right to me. Get some icky feeling going on because of the smell, you know, sometimes. And they can discern, ooh, better watch out, wolf in sheep's clothing. We need that. Or to know if we're going down the right path, you can discern that. We need folk who are like the nose, who can discern and smell and tell us what's what. And then, of course, Paul talks about the tongue. We need a mouth. And so we'll use the tongue to illustrate our mouth. We need a tongue because we need to be able to proclaim the word. It's one of the gifts. We need to exhort one another. It's one of the gifts. We need to share the gospel. And to do that, we need the Word of God. And it's one of the gifts. Paul also tells us that we need to keep a handle on the tongue and control the tongue. So we need the gift also of control. All right, so got the tongue, got the mouth, that's a good thing. And of course, none of that would do any good if you can't go anywhere. We need people who are feet for the church. People who are feet, who will carry the gospel. You know, Paul tells us that the whole armor of God, we have to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And the Bible tells us how beautiful are the feet of those who prepare the good news. We need evangelists. We need missionaries. They're all part of the church. I think a lot of times we think the person is a missionary and evangelist, oh, they're out there all by themselves. No, they're part of the body. And our body has got evangelists and missionaries in our own body. So we need feet. We need that. And there are people called to that purpose and with those gifts. The feet are also what propel the church and get things done. It's really good to sit around and talk and pray all the time. But as God told Moses when he stood at the river, he said, why are you standing here praying? Stick out your rod and get those people across. We got to go and do as well. So feet, we need the doers in the church. What's missing? And as many of you know in the church, I cannot sing. But the song that always goes through my head is Audio Adrenaline years ago had a song called I Want to Be His Hands. Anybody know that song? I'm not going to sing it. It tears me up every time. I want to be his hands. I want to be his feet. We need to be his hands. We got to have people who are the hands of Christ. Now, the hands of Christ, they're the folks who have the gift of helps, the gift of hospitality. They're also the people who have the gift of healing, lay hands. That's a gift. There are people in this body with the gift of healing. And so we need that. And then there's the arms. Arms are compassion. There are those who are exhorters and encouragers and those who have a gift. Now, that's one of the pastoral gifts, to be able to put an arm around somebody and not just say, it's going to be all right. But just somehow, in a mysterious way, because it's the gift of God, through the Spirit of God, can communicate the compassion of Christ. And so we need hands and we need arms. And so we need a complete body. We need all of this. Now here's the question. What is it that holds all of this together? What is the sinew that holds all the parts together? Colossians 2:2 says it's love, and it's knitting us together. I got some news for you. As wondrous as it is to read Scripture and find out that we have spiritual gifts and that we all are called to be a part of this, the truth of the matter is, if you've ever watched small children as they grow and they find parts of their hands and they find their feet, they tend to fixate on certain parts of their body. You notice that? And as they get older, they figure out that the hands aren't the coolest thing in the world. They're just hands, and it's okay. And after a while, I don't know, maybe by 10, they realize they're a body. And then they become adolescents, and they go through this awkward thing again. And they learn about parts of their body and growing, and it's awkward. It's no different in the body of Christ. It's no different. You see, learning how to operate in the gifts of the Spirit so we can be the parts that God called us to be, sometimes it looks pretty exciting. Wow. I love Brian Fenimore because I think he does a great job of teaching on this without making it sound really exciting, because I'll tell you the truth, as awesome as it is for the two-year-old to find their fingers, we also know as parents and older people with little kids, that can present dangers too, right? Little kids can find things with their hands they shouldn't, like sockets on the wall, pennies, things you drop that goes in the mouth. Hey, I found my mouth today. It's an awkward thing. And as the body of Christ, you know what? It's no different. It is no different. When we begin to find what our gift is and to step out and learn how to use our gift, and the Lord showed me years ago, he says, a gift is a gift. You can give somebody a gift and they go, wow, that's really cool. But they might not know how to use the gift. I can think of a lot of power tools and a lot of things that people could give me. And I go, oh, that's cool. It's a great gift. I would kill myself trying to use that. I had a friend of mine who actually is supposed to be a carpenter, was at Home Depot when they first opened, and they had this really cool, and I don't know what you call it, but it's kind of like a miter saw on steroids, okay? Right? You can build a house with this. You can go all these different ways. He was just asking for a demonstration, and there were guys giving a demonstration, you know? Guy turned his back. He says, can it do this? And he's trying to do, I think it's called a, is that a steeple cut? Yeah, it's all mitered. He says, can it do that? And he said, sure. And my buddy threw the wood up there, brought that arm down, and it hit that wood, and he went flying across Home Depot. Silence. And he goes, oops. Anyway, gifts can be like that, you know? So we have to learn how to use the gifts. And in learning how to do it, we can have accidents like my brother Bob did, okay? And in the kingdom of God, what happens is we actually can step on each other's toes sometimes as we learn how to use these gifts. And we're a little uncomfortable with it. So here's the deal. We have to remember that it is the love of God that holds it all together. See, love is like this ball of yarn. God gives his love to us, and he wants to do what? He wants to knit us together. Hang on. He wants to knit us together so that we don't fall apart at the seams while we're learning how to operate as a body. I am convinced that when the church learns to operate as a body, and with everybody on all the gifts in place, and we're all moving as God wants us to move in the body, every one of us has got our spiritual gift, we've learned how to use it, and we're flowing, what the lost and dying world's going to see is this beautiful bride, glimmering and shimmering, clothed with the righteousness of the saints. Now I'm going to tell you what. It's hard to resist a wedding, especially if there's a lot of good food and a beautiful bride. It melts all of our hearts. I guarantee you, the wedding feast to come is none like any of us have ever known. And he's given the invitation out. And if we will become the bride of Christ, clothed, learn how to do this, people will be drawn to that wedding. The problem is, because it's hard to become the body of Christ, and we're like those kids, and we get things out of order, and we're just like the two-year-old that I have who have put together Mr. Potato Head for me. This is kind of how two-year-olds do Mr. Potato Head, right? Sometimes out of ignorance, sometimes just because they think it's cool. But this is kind of how they do it. What's missing? The head. And sometimes this is what two-year-olds do. And they'll get things all just... You know, now we know in real life, that's not an attractive bride of Christ. So we've got to go through the problems and the troubles and to do that so we can learn to be the body of Christ that he's called us to be, that beautiful, beautiful bride. And to do that, we have to get knit together. It's the love that holds us together. You know, this yarn is stronger than it looks, but you know I can break this. You know I can break this, right? I could break this. Pass it down. Oh, hang on to a piece. You're needed. Now throw it back. Right? See, we don't see. You can see the orange yarn. Pass it down. Now, pass it back to Nate. Nate, throw it over there somewhere. Yeah, it's going to get messy, isn't it? All right. Church softball team. Pitcher. Right? Are you getting it? We're knit together. Because you see, sometimes when we operate in our gifts, we're not real good at it. And sometimes we offend people. Not that we mean to, but we're just like to... Keep it going. Pass it around. Has Kevin got it? Kevin, toss it up here to Craig, and let's go back again. Now, if we do this enough, you know two things. One, it'll be hard to get out of here. But you know what else? It'd be hard to get in here too. And that's important. You see, we need to be knit together with the love of Christ. The Bible says that love covers a multitude of sins. And boy, I need you to have love for me because I will offend people. And on my best day, trying not to, but I will. And I guarantee you, as wonderful as you all are, including my own family, I will get offended. It just happens. And we have to love each other enough not to let offenses stopping us from becoming the body of Christ. So we got to get knit together in love. Who's got it now? Can you get all the way up here? All right. Oh, that's great. You see that. What's your name?
Carter.
Carter? We got to knit them in over there, too. We got to get Sherry over there. Come on, Jared. Oh, yeah. See, we need the love of Christ and this together. Because some of us are afraid to step out in our spiritual gifts. Some of us know that God has gifted us with a particular spiritual gift. Maybe it's the gift of tongues, gift of healing. Maybe it's the gift of prophecy. Maybe it's the gift of hospitality, the gift of organization. Any one of those. But we're afraid to step out because we're like the little kid. You know, we're not sure if we can really do it, and we're not sure what people are going to think about it. So we got to have enough love going around us that we're not, there you go, keep it passing. Wrap them up. We need the love of Christ to do that. Now, here's what's going to happen. If we extend the love of Christ to each other and we hang on to each other, we'll become that beautiful bride. because we'll learn to step out in our gifts. What we don't want to do is take our gift and stick it in our pocket, our spiritual pocket, because then on the best day, this is how important each and every one is. We're still not going to look like the body of Christ because we're going to be missing that gift. Paul said it. I cannot say with enough fervor what Paul said. Each gift is significant. We cannot become the body of Christ without everybody's gift. Nobody in here was missed over by God. Nobody was called here on accident. There is no luck in the kingdom of God. He is a divine God. He has a divine purpose for everybody and everybody's gifts. And we need all the gifts. And we need to step out in faith and begin to do those gifts. And then, because he is God, and Paul says it's a mystery, somehow he's going to take the potato head church who was brave enough to step up so that all the parts are in the right place. And he's going to turn this into the shimmering body of Christ known as the bride. Put the Revelations 19 up again. We're going to hear the choirs of heaven. I'll tell you what, I heard thousands of men singing at Promise Keepers, and it was awesome, but nothing is going to be like at the wedding. Nothing. We're going to be the bride when we're going to hear hallelujah. Hallelujah, the Master reigns. The Bible says it sounds as if it was a flood. If we're willing to trust God that His grace is sufficient, if we'll stand on His mercy and grace, and if we'll have love for each other to see that. So here's how we're going to close today. I'm going to ask you a question right now. First, most important question. Are you a part of the body? Have you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? Have you accepted the invitation to come to the wedding feast of the Lamb? Are you going to come and have supper with us and be a part of this? There's nothing more important in your life than saying yes to Jesus. None of this makes a bit of difference if you haven't said yes to Jesus. And the fate of not saying yes to Jesus is you won't be there. So that's the first thing. Have you said yes to Jesus, and do you want to be a part of the bride, part of this wedding feast? Second thing, you're in the kingdom. Do you know what your spiritual gift is? Do you know what your part in the body is? Seriously, there are some here who know. And are you operating in your gifts? Because if you don't know what your gift is or what part of this body you belong in, I'm going to ask you to pray. And as we conclude, I'll be up here to pray with you if you want. I'm going to ask if I could have some of the prayer team to come up. When we conclude, the prayer team can come up and we'll pray with you. Ask the Lord. The Bible says that we need to seek those gifts. And if you seek God, you'll find Him. We can begin to ask Him, what's my gift, Lord? Where do I fit in the body? Now hear me. You might know what you're presently doing, but we need to be brave enough today to ask God, am I doing what you want me to do? Or am I hiding the gift? I dare think some of us today have a gift in our pocket that we need to pull out and give it to God. And then for those who do know what your gift is, you know your call, I'm going to ask you to pray. Pray first off for those around you, that they'll surrender their gift to God and that God will begin to show them where they belong and how we all work together and what their part is, what their gifting is. So I'm going to ask you to bow your head, close your eyes. So first we're going to pray, Lord Jesus, if there's anybody here right now at this moment that does not know you as Lord and Savior, we pray and we believe because you said it's not your will that any would perish, but that all would come to know you as Lord and Savior. And you gave the invitation to come to the wedding, to be the bride. We pray every heart today that does not know you as Lord and Savior will surrender to you and say, Lord, here I am. And then, Father, we pray as a body for each other. We are awed and amazed that you not only created us, but you specifically created each and every one of us to be a member of the body who is the bride of Christ. We pray for your grace and mercy as we seek to find who we are in the body and what our spiritual gifts are. We pray that your love, the sinew that holds us together, will flow through us and unto others as we endeavor to be found worthy of your call, to reach out to the world in which you placed us and to be salt and light to a dark and hungry world. May you have all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you And the Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance unto you and give you peace. Amen. You're dismissed.